sleep problems tend to come out ahead of worsening mood.
For psychologist and professor David Sabara, it all began with back surgery.
When I was 19, I had a fairly serious spine surgery, and I spent more or less the entire summer lying flat on my back. And I don't know, I really sort of spent a lot of time thinking about how am I going to put the pieces of my life back together? What am I going to do? Who do I want to become? And who am I?
Sabara went on to study what it means, emotionally and physically, to put a life back together. As director of clinical training in the University of Arizona Department of Psychology, he's now part of a new field of research that's changing how people see the connection between physical and mental health. That connection lies at the heart of what Sabara and other experts say is a major and often overlooked public health issue. Right now, almost 60 million Americans, that's one out of every four adults, are living with some form of mental illness. For many of these individuals, mental illness will carry a physical cost. People with mental health disorders are more likely to have heart disease, diabetes, and other chronic health conditions. On average, they die 25 years earlier than the general population. Researchers are only beginning to explore why, in part by studying how people cope with painful experiences, like losing a loved one.
We know that there is something called the widowhood effect. That is, that when a person loses their spouse, they are at increased risk for their own morbidity and mortality, particularly in the first 6 months, but even for years to come.
UA psychology researcher Mary Frances O'Connor has spent years trying to figure out why people who have lost loved ones are at greater risk for illnesses ranging from heart disease to multiple sclerosis. She's found that loss can change someone's brain activity and immune and stress responses. Levels of the stress hormone cortisol, for example, follow a specific pattern in healthy people, and a different one when we're grieving.
You can see that the group with the dotted line, the group who's not adapting, they start lower in the morning in terms of their cortisol level, and when they end at the end of the day, their cortisol level is still higher. In the long term, that's not a very good sign for health.
O'Connor uses bereavement as a case study so she can zero in on the link between mind and body. Sabara chose divorce as his case study and has found strikingly similar results.
We did a big meta-analysis, a study of study, a couple years ago, and this involved over 6.5 million people, showing that the experience of divorce and time spent living as a divorced adult was associated with this increased risk for early death.
But when it comes to mental illness, stress-induced changes in the body are only part of the picture, Sabara says.
In general, when we think about the link between psychology and health, you start thinking about three or four main pathways. And the first one is probably resources. So access to resources. So socioeconomic status, access to healthcare, changes in social networks and friend groups and those kinds of things. But the first main one is resources. The second main one is health behaviors. So how much are people smoking? How good is their diet? How poor is their diet? Those types of things. Then we move on to think about psychosocial stress. So how much psychological stress does any given experience confer? And you start putting those all together and you weave a pretty complex story about the thing that increases risk for early death.
Current treatments for mental illness are also part of the problem. Many of the medications people take to ease their symptoms, while helpful in day-to-day life, can have long-term consequences for physical health. And then there's the fact that the mind-body connection goes both ways. Studies of the link between depression and heart disease, for example, suggest that both conditions may share a common origin in inflammation.
It may well be the case, and I think we're going to really see this in the next 5 or 10 years, that a lot of the psychology is driven from the bottom up, that the inflammatory response leads to social withdrawal. So what we're seeing is sort of this breakdown between how people think about what's driving the engine between psychology and biology, and that's probably some of the most interesting research that's being done.
Sabara and O'Connor admit there's still a lot they and their colleagues don't know about the connection between mental and physical health. But they plan to keep probing in hopes that learning more could lead to a new approach for treating mental illnesses, one that aims to heal the body as well as the mind. I'm Gisela Tellis, Arizona Public Media.